Please welcome Pastor John Jester.
Glory to God. Anybody in here ever been hit in the stomach? I mean, like punched in the gut. That kind of hit in the stomach where it's right here, like right near your diaphragm, and it's hard for you to catch your breath after something hit you in the stomach. I got hit in the stomach while scrolling through social media. I know some of y'all are like, that's supposed to be a safe activity. But if you read things the way I read things, sometimes things can punch you in the gut. And I want to show you what punched me in the gut. Put that up there, please. Religion says, I messed up, my dad is going to kill me. The gospel says, I messed up, I need to call my dad. It's going to pause a second just in case that punched you in the stomach as well. It really punched me in the stomach. You know why? Because it made me ask the question, what kind of father am I? Am I the dad that my kids would say, man, I messed up, I've got to call my dad? Or am I the dad that says, man, I messed up, my dad is absolutely going to kill me? Now, here's the thing. Being a father is not, it's not something that you can read a manual and learn how to do. It's something that you have to take the word of God and let that word speak to you in a way that cultivates and shapes something on the inside of you to be imparted into the person, that little individual who looks just like you, sounds just like you, and will probably do some of the same stupid things that you did. When that happens, they need somewhere to go. They need somewhere to run. And so when your kid comes home and says, I did X, what kind of dad are you? What kind of dad are you? Now, you've all seen the movie, right? Guy comes, picks daughter up. Dad says, have her home by 10. 10 o'clock, dad's sitting on the couch. 10:30 comes, she's not home yet. 10:45 comes, she's not home yet. 11 o'clock comes, you're loading every gun in the house. And finally, the door opens. And if you're like me, you want to set this up, right? Like you want it to be very dramatic. And you're sitting in a dark living room. And there's nobody in the living room with you. And you're sitting on a couch over in a corner. And she's sneaking in, creeping in. And just when she thinks she's got it, the light comes on. Now, this works for sons as well. I'm not just ragging on daughters here. Young lady, where have you been? And in that moment, your kid starts to tell you something, anything. The question is this, how do you respond in that moment? Because your response in that moment will determine whether or not that child feels comfortable coming to you when they mess up. Or if they want to run and hide, and not just hide from you, but hide things from you. See, as fathers, we set the temperature in our home. We're thermostats. We get to determine how hot or how cold things are. And I'm going to tell you, your leadership is not one of domination, but it is one of dedication. Your leadership is not one where you dominate your home with edicts and dominate your home with strong arming. And there are some times where that's necessary, but your leadership is on a daily basis one of love and understanding, especially when your kid comes home. And this is not just when your kid comes home and tells you something terrible. This is also when your kid comes home and tells you something awesome. See, how you celebrate with your kid will determine whether or not your kid wants you to celebrate with them. And how you discipline your kid or how you help your child in difficult situations will determine whether or not your kid wants your help. The Bible says this, train up a child the way they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. We have this understanding that training up that child the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it, means I'm gonna have a good kid and you have to be good right now. That's not the promise. The Bible says that when they're older, or in other words, when they have matured, they'll not depart from it. But the process can be messy. And as men, sometimes the process makes us think that the process is our fault. My kid messed up, must be my fault. My kid did something wrong, must be my fault. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Dad, you are the best dad for your daughter. You are the best dad for your son. God would not have given you that child if he didn't see fit for you to parent that child. And we parent by grace through faith. God has given you the grace to parent your specific child. I can't parent your child the way you can parent your child. And by faith, you take hold of that position. Just like Chuck was talking a second ago, you take hold of a position of command and you stay in that position. Now, here's the thing. Some of y'all are like, why do you have a coffee cup while you're talking? Staying in that position of command requires you to have command over yourself before you have command over anything else. That's why I have this coffee cup. Brittany and I have been in situations before where our kids, and we have older kids as well, where our kids have come home and told us some pretty tragic things. We've also been in situations where our kids have come home and told us some very exciting things. And no matter what it is, whether it's tragic or exciting, I lean on the word and a coffee cup. Why are y'all looking at me like I'm crazy? Here's the deal. Every one of us has a tendency, a propensity, an opportunity to allow our flesh to get in the way. And in order for that not to happen, you have to take a moment and shift gears and drop down into the Jesus on the inside of you. I've had kids come home and tell me I've broken something, or I've destroyed something, or I've had parents come to me and said, my daughter last night came home and said she was pregnant. I've also had men come to me and said, last night my son came home and said she's pregnant. And in every situation, what I've learned is this: if I don't get out of me, I won't be the man that I'm supposed to be. So I take time. I have a kid sit down and I go over to the coffee maker and I make a cup of coffee. It's typically very silent during that time. And that silence isn't to intimidate, that silence is to allow the Holy Spirit to come into the room. It forces me to be quiet and get to a place where God can speak not just to me, but through me. And I come back with my cup of coffee and we have a conversation and I sip my coffee. And I deliberately take sips throughout the conversation. One sip, another sip. When they say something really, really crazy, I take a gulp. Why? Well, because those sips require me to shut up. Can I just be real with you? Those sips require me to be quiet and listen, not just to what's being told me from the outside, but what's on the inside. See, the word of God says, greater is he that lives in you than the one that's in the world. And sometimes you've got to take a moment to let what's in you come out as opposed to what's on you come out. Because what's on you may be anger, frustration, anxiety, trying to figure it out. We are men and we have a tendency to go to work when there's a problem. There's a problem, I'm going to work. I'm going to solve the problem. I'm going to work. Here's the only issue with that. When you're working, he can't. And the greatest expression of faith is rest. Rest in what the word says. I have a promise concerning my child. When they're older, they will not depart from it. They're not older yet. Regardless of what the age is, they haven't come to a place of maturity. So this momentary departure will not define my child. And how I respond in this momentary departure is what is going to help shape them and move them back into the position to be all that God's called them to be. So I hold on to my cup. I hold on to my cup. When it's time to celebrate, I celebrate, but I hold on to my cup because I want to make sure I celebrate the way God wants me to celebrate. When it's time for correction, I hold on to my cup. Why? Because I want to make sure I correct in the spirit of the Lord. When it's time to, the Bible says, mourn with those who mourn. When it's time to mourn, I hold on to my cup. Why? Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I will not allow a spirit of grief to shackle my family. So I want to encourage you, when your kid comes home, regardless of what your kid comes home and says, hold on to your cup. 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 The word of God says, my cup runneth over. Out of the abundance of what's in you, what's in your cup, should come an answer. So hold on to your cup. You put the statement back up. Religion says I messed up. My dad is going to kill me. I am not that guy. And neither are you. You are not that guy. The gospel, the good news that my child is running to me for says, I messed up. I need to call my dad. Thank you.